Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
This is going to be a great podcast because you get two people for the price of one. You get David James and producer extraordinaire Dan Swinimer.
How's it going?
Good. Dan paid me to say that. Is that okay? Did I sell it good enough to earn my full
pay? I'm running out of money. I wish someone would just say it without charging me, but whatever. Money well spent.
Actually, this is going to be a good podcast for you, Dan, because I'm going to say a lot of nice things about you, and it's hard. Like, I had to take some Tylenol before the podcast just so I would feel good about. No, how are you guys? So, David, you're in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I'm a Winterpeg as it is right now. There's like 9 inches. I went golfing 3 days ago, and now there's 9 inches of snow on the ground. I literally shoveled 3 times in the last 24 hours. So,
you're shoveling snow? Right,
yeah.
It's awful. And Dan is out in BC where they golf all year round and are very quick to tell us about it. I mean, I've never seen so many people tell us, oh, yeah, we have flowers up in March. Like, we don't care. The rest of the country.
Well, you realize that you can actually, on a day like today, you can go skiing at night and golf during the day. Like, that's just kind of, what it's like to live in paradise.
Do you want me to get rid of him, David? Like, I don't know how, but I'll figure
out. You said you were going to say nice things about me, Shiloh. This isn't a good start.
It's okay. He's running out of money. He's almost out of my life. It's fine.
That's right.
All right. E-transfer coming. Just hang on.
I can't believe it's snowing, David James. That's ridiculous. I thought it was bad enough that we had frost last night, but
yeah, that's horrifying. Actually, my son wore shorts to school today, so
Hold on. How do I get him off this call? What? There's a lot of other producers you could work with, David. I'm just saying.
Listen, Shiloh, you're the one driving around with the convertible top down.
That's right. Okay, so you guys are on this together because you guys work together constantly. David, how long have you been working with Dan? Has it been most of your career, or did you guys sort of just start working together the last couple of years?
Too long is a short answer. we've been, I think this is like our 8th or 9th song that we've done together. That seems like a lot, because somebody said that the other day, and I was like, wow, I guess it is. We've worked together for, probably, I don't know, Dan, what's it been, like maybe 4 years now, something like that?
I was going to say around 4. I think that's about right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you guys just have this thing where you guys push each other to be better, I've heard that before, where it really is one of those relationships where you're not afraid to tell the other person, hey, you can be better.
Yeah, it's typically more so a one-way street with him telling me I can be better, but we've got a great working relationship. I think Dan is constantly pushing me to get better anyway, it's been great. What I like about our relationship especially is that we agree on a lot, but we don't agree on necessarily everything. So it's great because, often we have like a similar vision for a song, but maybe different strategy on how to get there and different ideas. So it brings a lot of fresh perspectives, which I really like too.
Dan, this might not be the accurate way this happened, but was there really a single where you told David he had to fly back to your studio? Is this... Was there one where you're like, no, you can do better, and you made him do it all over again? Am I hearing that story right?
It was one of those. The vocals were fine. It's just when you work with an artist like David James, I push him a lot as a vocalist, mostly because he gives me something new and different every single time we record. And if I'm not mistaken, David, that was the one where normally he would fly out to Vancouver and we just have the perfect scenario because my studio is in my house. So whenever he felt he'd stay at my house, and we'd, cause we're friends now, and he'd integrate in the family. And whenever he felt like singing, we'd go and sing. In this case, I was in Winnipeg, and we had like a block of time in a studio where we had to get things done. And, I just noticed that it just didn't have the same sparkle because we didn't get David in the morning, David in the afternoon, David in the, the vocal was fine. Honestly, it would have been just fine. I'm sure most people wouldn't have noticed, but David has such a unique voice, and I just want so badly for the world to hear all the different colors and textures of this vocalist. So I kind of guilted him into coming out, even though everyone was pretty much fine with the vocal. But that's the kind of commitment that David has. And I think we can do better.
How did that phone call go? Did you call him directly, or did you buffer with his team?
I think I started kind of massaging him with a few texts. You know, I'm very manipulative. I think it was sort of, David, great job on the vocal. Too bad we didn't have more time. Imagine how good we could have done if we had even more time. So I think it went something like that. So
I'm hearing your strategies and tactics for the first time now. Thanks, Dan.
I know. It's when they're unveiled, it's quite a thing, isn't it?
That must be.
You know what? He could have said no, Shiloh. He honestly, I gave him every opportunity. Oh, yeah. To say no, and I love the fact that this guy just said no. We can do better.
You're hard to say no to, though. I mean, I played your 9-year-old daughter's beer song.
You interviewed my 9-year-old daughter. That was the best.
Yeah,
we woke her up
and interviewed her. And
I have to admit, though, she kind of nailed that interview.
She nailed the interview more than we will ever nail an interview. Like we probably all just should have stopped right there with that one, but. David, does that make you just not just like Dan so much more as a producer, just knowing that he isn't just that guy who's like, hey, next, and moving on? Like, that must make you feel really good as an artist that you have him on your team.
Yeah, I mean, Dan's the kind of guy that like so heavily invests in the work that he's doing and into his artists. I mean, you know, I've seen it with, you know, a lot of artists that he's worked with over the past. He's just the kind of guy that very heavily invests in and really wants what's best for the song and wants to do it due diligence and do everything he possibly can and that the artist possibly can and that the mixing and mastering engineers possibly can to make the song as fantastic and wonderful as it possibly can be. And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, extra effort and extra work that goes in that you're right, you know, both, I don't want to say some producers can phone it in from time to time, but like everybody's got those days where, you know, or those projects that maybe they're not super excited about or you know, just those kind of situations where, you know, I don't want to say they're rushing, but with Dan and with the work that we've been doing, I think it's just because we both believe in the songs and we believe in the project so heavily and we're so just heavily invested in it. We want to make sure that everything's the best it possibly can be. And certainly as an artist, that's the hope from a producer. And I think that's why we work so well together is because we're never afraid to go the extra mile. We're never afraid to second guess what we're doing. And we're never afraid to try and get even better and go even bigger and better on a song.
So David James, cocktail master. Right? Because you've been on a couple of Zoom calls with us over the last year and you're always mixing drinks.
Yeah. You know, well, so it started out as I got my first bartending gig when I was like in university and I was trying to pay for school and pay to get in the studio to record some songs. And so it kind of just started out of necessity. For me, you know, I mean, a long time ago, I was like, you know, probably 19 or 20. And through that, it kind of turned into a bit of a passion. You know, I think I'm like a creative guy who, when I really, you know, when I'm interested in something, I want to find out and learn as much as I can about it and get as good as I can, you know, about it and think of creative things that I can do with it. So for me, that's kind of what bartending turned into, where it started as just this part-time gig to make some money. And then, you know, through that, I, you know, developed my craft, and I've entered like mixology competitions, and, you know, I got probably 50 books on, you know, mixology and bartending in like the 1800s. And I just became enthralled with it. And, you know, plus I think it's just such a handy skill to have, you know, you're having people over and you're able to like mix up some cool cocktails. I think it's pretty cool. And I don't know. I just kind of fell into it.
Was it a whiskey? What did you make for it? Whiskey sour, I want to say. Is that what you made for us on one of the Zoom calls?
Oh, probably. Yeah, that sounds a lot like something I drink very frequently. So that was probably it.
Is that the one? which one had an egg in it? I just remember you were making something with an egg in it, and we're like, what?
So, yeah, so whiskey sours or any kind of sour, like tequila sour or whatever, anytime you hear the word sour, it's going to have egg white in it, generally speaking. I used a full egg for eggnog. A lot of people don't realize, funnily enough, even with the name eggnog, that there's egg, like full egg, yolk, white, everything in there. And so I actually, I adapted a recipe that I think was first used in like the early 1900s. It's delicious. And people always get freaked out. They think raw eggs are going to kill you or give you salmonella, but you're actually much more likely to get salmonella from like unwashed produce, like broccoli at the grocery store.
There you go. Less broccoli, more eggs. I like that.
Raw eggs in your drinks? Remind me never to drink your drinks again.
If you ever wanted to be part of a Zoom call with like six or eight other radio people and we all went silent and then the collective like, what? Like it was, like, I think our minds were blown. We talked about that for a couple weeks after going, oh man, David James puts raw eggs in his drinks.
Either that or you're sitting there going, David James is trying to kill us. We better add a single.
It's not as bad as it sounds. You're making it sound like I'm Rocky just chugging six raw eggs before a big training session.
That's how it works. He can go out and play a 90-minute set because he pounds the eggs before. That's so good. We added your single at Stingray this week, which is exciting. It's always fun to be able to jump on a new song like that.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about your single, and you know, I can't wait to hear sort of how that all came about.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, 2020, I guess I'll preface this, you know, obviously the last year and a half has been like tough and a struggle for everyone. And, you know, I haven't been immune to that. I know Dan hasn't been immune to that. Like it's been really tough. And so when Dan and I were kind of getting back in the studio to record some songs, we really wanted to ensure that we were creating some fun, energetic, lighthearted, joyful, like joyful, I guess is the key word. We wanted to create joyful music, you know, because I just honestly, like, it just feels like people need music as like an escape and a release and as a break more than ever before, at least in a long time. And so we really just wanted to create fun, joyful music and have a great time doing it. And I think we just had such a good time that it really translated through in the songs. And, you know, Don't Mind If I Do is just such a fun song. And I think Dan was just able to capture that so well because we kind of had that just infectious joy while we were recording it. Like, I mean, day two of cutting vocals, this is after I've sang the song probably for like 6 or 7 hours. And my voice is tired and raw, and most singers are like, you know what? I'm just exhausted. I don't want to listen to or think about music for like a week, and I just want to go hang out at home. And for me, I just remember at the end of the vocal session, I was like, no, I want to keep going. Like I was just jamming out to the song on my headphones, and I was singing along and having a great time. And I think that just speaks to how infectiously positive and joyful the song is.
Such a great song, man. Such a great song. We don't often get to do this in the podcast, but we can actually chat with Dan, the producer of this song. Take us maybe like a 35, 45 second glimpse into what happens from beginning to end of that song. So he sends you the song and then you sort of put it together in your mind. Is that how that works? And you put the music together? Because I don't often get to see sort of the back end of things.
Yeah, so David's likes to be a part of the process, and I love that because he's very creative and he's really got good instincts. He'll be a producer someday, I have no doubt. And we knew we wanted it to be a true country song. I had already been scouting out fiddle players, and pedal steel is my favorite instrument. It's in every one of my productions, and we just wanted the production to be as fun as the lyrics. And I got to tell you, Shiloh, this is a fun one for me. Just with the musicians that I hire, I always have a pretty good sense of the quality of song just based on the reaction from the musicians that I hire. Almost every musician that I hired sent back tracks and just, wow, I love this song. This song is so fun to play on. And even my mix engineer, he almost made us miss the deadline because he loved the song so much, and he just was Mr. Perfectionist on the mix. He's like, sorry, dude, I love this song. I don't want to mess it up. And he's just tweaking and tweaking. And then finally, you know, we're all kind of having a panic attack because we're going to actually miss David's release deadline. But he did get it in under the wire. And yeah, so it was a really fun, strange process because of COVID, a lot different than normal. But it really did come together somehow.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So you say that David comes to your house and fits in as part of the family. Here's a few things I want to know. Does he take out the trash? Like, can you count on him to, on trash day, to be out there with the...
I almost feel like when I drive him to the airport afterwards that I'm taking out the trash, but...
nice! He really
Sorry,
is,
couldn't resist.
He really is like the long-lost family member that stays too long.
No, he's only famous because he's a Leafs fan, and they are the worst kinds of people.
You know what's worse than a Leaf
Especially
fan?
Especially when the Leafs are in first place.
Oh, yeah. The Leaf fans are worse when the team's winning. Like, it's just... Ugh.
We're sort of a pathetic bunch, usually, because usually the Leafs aren't doing well. But, man, I'll tell you, it sure feels fun. I feel like a flower that's blossoming, seeing how well the Leafs are playing this year. And I really get to have some fun conversations, particularly with Senator fans. But, thankfully, there's not too many of those out there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the Jets are a good team, but if you look at the standings, that's an easy argument this year for a Leafs fan, which I can appreciate.
It is, but I do like the fact that you guys gave a first-round pick away for Foligno. Like, that's the Leafs that I remember. You know, maybe overplaying their hand a little bit, and I was like, oh, something's right with the world in 2021 when that happens.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, at least he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and he's 33 years old. So, I mean, you know.
That's right. And
you're right. That is such a typical Leaf play.
They're collecting captains, too, right? I think that's the, like, they just want, let's have a bunch of captains.
Well, they also, at the end of the day, they're going to need somebody to replace the 45-year-old players that they have on their team right now. So, you know, at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to fill those spots on the bench, so why not former used up captains, right?
We tease because we hate. That's why.
Yeah.
That's
Shiloh. For some reason I thought you were a Leaf fan. Who do you cheer for?
I'm a Habs fan. Leaf fan. No.
Oh, Shiloh.
I'd rather start watching cricket than cheer for the Leafs.
Oh, Shiloh. You know, we had such a good thing all these years, and now it's hard to hear this. I did not know that about you.
Oh, well, there you
Habs?
Go.
Habs? Come on.
I don't hate the Jets, though, just so you know.
I think the Jets are actually unhateable. I don't know anyone that hates the Jets.
Yeah, they're just kind of there, right? It's like, if you're in Winnipeg, you love them, and then the rest of the country is just like, oh, it's the Jets.
You make us sound like the little brother that just are just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, nobody really cares about you.
We'll let you tag along for a little while, but just don't get in the way. That's
hey, you know what? We're holding
as long as they continue to not win Stanley Cups, they're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, well, I mean, we're just taking after the Leafs, I guess. It's been, what, 54 years?
Very nice. But you guys did have a break.
13 Stanley Cups before that, so.
Yeah. Getting things back on. So tell me, you guys have been doing a lot of TV appearances. None of those were live? Like, are you guys doing all those by video?
I've done some live TV stuff recently. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've done some live stuff. Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if you actually had to get up and go in the studio and get all ready and stuff. If you just, you know, I wasn't sure, but, that must be so cool. Have you guys played this song together live then? The new single?
No. No, we haven't. No. I've played it on my own, but I mean, just the logistics. First off, for Dan, you know, being in another province, logistically speaking, playing it live together, I don't even think there's a way to really do that without some, like, latency issues and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. even when we were recording in the studio, I would be in the vocal booth singing the song, and Dan was in my ears, and Dan was listening to the session, but there would still be, like, a 3 or 4 second latency, so I'm not sure how you do that when you're performing live.
Don't let him trick you.
Because, yeah, Shiloh, you may not know this, but we weren't in the same studio. I was here in Vancouver monitoring and coaching, but David was in Winnipeg. We had to do it that way because of COVID.
No, I did not realize that. I thought maybe you quarantined or isolated. That's crazy. I didn't know that. Oh, my God.
There's no way Dan would put up with me at quarantining at his place for 2 weeks.
It's accurate.
I had a tent set up in the backyard all ready to go, but
is that a hey, I'm out in BC and you can camp all year round dig? Because, you know, I told you we don't really care about that.
Well, as long as you have the most waterproof tent in history, I gotta tell you, there's times in the winter here where I would rather be in Winnipeg, because as much as it doesn't get nearly as cold, when it rained drizzly rains for 3 weeks straight, mm-hmm. you're ready to jump off the nearest bridge. It's really hard to deal with that kind of weather. At least with winter, mm-hmm. you know, it's bright, it's cold, but, you know, it's I grew up in Ontario in the snow belt, so I far prefer those winters over the Vancouver winters.
I did not realize you guys threw that together distantly. I mean, you can't tell. There's no way to know that. Like, that's remarkable, but it must be so weird. Does it feel more empty? Like, when it's just, you know, you guys aren't in the same room?
I mean, for me as an artist, it was definitely a different experience, but it worked out better than I think either of us really would have thought. For me, you know, obviously, you know, part of why I love the working relationship Dan and I have is because he's not afraid to, like, get a million takes of something. And we're doing a lot of back and forth when I'm in a vocal booth, because, like, obviously we're talking back and forth to each other. And so there's a lot of that communication that goes into that relationship and goes into those recording sessions. So I was a little concerned, you know, wondering if maybe we weren't really going to have that. But honestly, you know, from my perspective, it kind of turned out great. And it was just, I was just so happy anyway to get back to being able to sing and record that I was just having a great time regardless. But it was almost identical experience for me, minus a couple of seconds of latency between when I'd finish a take and I'd hear his feedback, but he was, like, right in my ears, and we were still able to joke around and have a great time, which, honestly, at the end of the day, if you're not loving it while you're doing it, then it's not worth doing, and we always have such a great time.
Part of that delay was he's a Leaf fan, so he's still trying to figure stuff out. That's, I mean...
Just look at the standings, fellas. Just look at the standings.
I think we can leave it at that. Listen... the single's great. You guys are such a great team, and you guys, I would imagine you guys already have some stuff in the works for follow-ups.
Yeah, we recorded multiple things, and we're just, again, like, we were so committed to making these songs not just the best we'd ever done, but also just, you know, fun and full of energy and excitement. And I'm really hopeful and excited for this song, and then for what else we have coming up.
All right. Also looking forward to the hockey playoffs. And yes, the Leafs are in first place. I had to double check it. Screenshot it, Dan. Take a screen grab of that, because it might not happen for a
while. I love you, Shiloh. I love you. Dan framed the standings and put them above his bed so he can wake up and look at them every morning.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.